Welcome to Look Up with Pastor Mike and his wife Linda Sasso of Calvary Chapel of Eagle, a radio ministry designed to assist you in applying God's Word to your everyday life. For the next half hour, Pastor Mike and Linda will encourage you with your walk with Christ and help you look up to Jesus. If you need advice on marriage, life challenges, or relationships, call in now. It's time to look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here's Mike and Linda.
Well, hi, everybody. It feels like it's been a long time since we've been on the air, but maybe it's because we've been doing so many other things.
We have been. Yes.
Linda and I have had our kids and grandkids come out and visit from Colorado, and we're getting all the kids together and having fun and doing crazy things, eating lots of weird foods. And we just actually today we're at Wahoo's. Having fun at the amusement park.
Show them your bangles.
I still got all my bracelets. And we just took a lunch break to come on here and be on the air. And then we have a hospital call. And then we're going to go back to Wahoo. So we'll find a way to mix it all in. Anyway, we're going to try to remember what we picked up on in Ephesians 5. There are things to talk about that I think are worthy of our attention. As we look at everything from the things that keep people out of heaven to what are the sons of disobedience? What kinds of things bring the wrath of God? We're in that section, as well as what we're going to look at hopefully today in a few minutes, is what it means when it says walk as children of light, because there's a difference. But first, I want to remind you, we are a live call-in show. We would love to hear from you. And there's several ways that you could communicate with us. And I'm going to let Linda tell you about that.
Hi, everybody. Yeah, we've been running around. We've been at Wahoo since probably about 10:30 this morning. Decided we needed that break and come and spend time with you guys, okay? Even though we got our kids here, it's a semi-vacation thing. This is still really important to our hearts to be here on the radio with you. So if you would like to give us a call, and we can dialogue. That's why we want you to call in. So we can dialogue back and forth. Because we found out most of the time when somebody asks a question, the first question they ask is not really getting to the heart of what they want to talk about. So if you call in, we kind of get down to the heart of things and can give you the real answers that you're looking for. That number to be live on the air with us is 208-377-3790. Again, that is 208-377-3790. Just can't stand that thought of talking live on the radio, which I found out my daughter didn't like the idea of talking live on the radio when I went home sick and just left her here with the guys. She just thought, this is not very much fun. So I know there are some people that the thought of talking live on the radio is terrifying. You can send a text message to Calvary Chapel Eagle's phone, and that would be 208-891-2635. If you're out there in Facebook Live land, go ahead, leave a comment. We keep an eye on those ones too, okay?
All right, let's get to Ephesians 5. We'd like to talk to you a little bit about, and I think as I'm looking at this, sometimes I don't mark my history as where we left off so well, but I know we did read these verses, and let's just read them again to get the flow. Ephesians 5, verse 5 says, "For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with any empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them." Now, I think when we did talk about this, I pointed out to you, and it's worth reminding you again, that there's a difference between the sons of disobedience and the children of light mentioned in verse 8. But we can be partakers with the sons of disobedience when we live in disobedience, when we live in a way that's not pleasing to God. And some of these things are what's mentioned in verse 5. Now, what I'd like to do maybe is to read it to you from a few different translations, because some of these words we don't use as much anymore. Let me see. How about the Phillips translation is interesting here. "For this you can be quite sure or quite certain, that neither the immoral, nor dirty-minded, nor covetous, whose greed makes him worship gain, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God I keep turning that around, of Christ and of God. Now, here's the thing that's interesting with the Phillips translation. It defines what the covetous man, which I think in the other translation in the New King James, it says the covetous man who's an idolater. What does that mean? You're a covetous man is an idolater? Well, here it actually says a covetous man whose greed makes him worship gain. You know, there are people, and I hope I'm not talking to some of them right now, and if so, maybe the Lord's calling you to repentance, who they live for their next buck. I know we need money. I know we need to think about how much we're going to make at the job we're applying for, our vocation. We do need to pay our bills. Money is essential. And some people think that money is the root of all evil. It isn't. Money is a root to evil, but it's not the root of all evil because money is essential to live. But I like the way the Phillips translation clarifies this, that there are covetous people whose greed makes him worship gain. There are some people who, if they could come out on top, they're going to do it. They got to do it to me. You know what? There's times for my wife and I, and I'm sure many godly people, many Christians, who you could make an extra buck if you do this, and you could pull in a few more dollars if you do that, and you just go, you know what? I'd have to lower my standards, or I'd have to lower my morals to do that, or even why? You know, why? You got to figure what's the most important thing to you, people or money? What's the most important thing to you? Sometimes even rest and peace of mind or money. And some people, it's money, and they will work and work and work because money becomes their God, okay? And so I like the way the Phillips translation puts it. Let's see. Let's look at the message. That's always interesting. You can be sure that using people or religion or things just for what you can get out of them, the usual variations on idolatry, that's interesting, will get you nowhere. So they're saying that idolatry can be all these other things, sexual immorality, fornication, impurity, all the things that's mentioned in the New King James. I like the way the message clarifies that all, you know what, every sin in your life can really be idolatry because you're loving that sin more than you are God, or let's say in anything you love more than God is idolatry, okay? So let's see. I don't know how much more I want to dig into this word idolatry, but we'll read on. It says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Here's another thing that jumps off the page to me here. There's a lot of people who don't think that there is a such thing as the wrath of God. There are people who have an image of God as this happy face in the sky, this great big yellow happy face in the sky that loves you no matter what, and it's all good, and no matter what you do or say, that's your choice, and whatever your preference is. You know, that's not, as we read on here, I read on earlier today, and in verse 10 it says, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. I think a lot of American Christians today, I could say, they just think that maybe they've heard too much of the happy face preachers that God just loves you and he loves me just the way I am and everything's fine. I don't have to worry about a thing. Well, the Bible teaches us that there are some things that bring about God's wrath, and there are some things that brings displeasure to him, and there are some things that are acceptable, and there are some things that are not. Do you care? Does it matter to you? I think that is the mark of the lukewarm, carnal Christian, if there is a such thing, because you wonder if that person's really a Christian at all, or the American Christian that just lives for himself, but he's got fire insurance because he accepted Jesus one day, he said the prayer, went forward at an altar call. And the Bible continually exhorts us to walk the line, to live as children of light, to find out what's acceptable in God's eyes, and to reject those things which are displeasing to him. Folks, if you don't care what's pleasing to God or what bothers God or what brings about God's wrath, then I could say you're not in a safe place. You're either not saved or you're headed in the wrong direction, and it's very, very dangerous. There are consequences for just throwing caution to the wind, so to speak, when it comes to spiritual matters. And so he says, do not, in verse 7, I mean, again, for those of you just tuned in, Ephesians 5:7, Therefore, do not be partakers with them. With who? With the sons of disobedience. Those people out there who are not sons and daughters of God, but they're sons of disobedience.
You know, I want to go back and I want to focus on let no one deceive you with empty words. How many empty words are floating around out there right now? Okay. You know, do as thou wilt. Love the one you're with. Empty, empty words that are lies. But sometimes people base their lives on these lies. We are to be careful that someone does not deceive us, okay? It's not, don't you be a bad person, go deceiving people. It's let no one deceive you. How do we become that people can't deceive us? By knowing the truth. Mm-hmm. We need to know the truth. So when the deceit, the lie, the empty words are spoken, we know that's not true. I'm not going to fall for that one. There is no merit to that one. There's nothing to it. They are empty, useless words. But we are to be careful that we are not deceived. Do you? I know too many people that just hear something, Facebook, the news, and all of a sudden they're quoting it like it's gospel truth. And I know we've got this new term, fake news, but there is such a thing that this is not the truth. You know, it can be somebody's opinion. How many times have you seen a news report and because they want to have the breaking story, they get all the facts wrong. And then we're repeating it like, oh, this is what happened. When really it wasn't when the truth came out. Okay. We need to look carefully at what we believe. Just because we read it in a book, heard it on a radio station, seen it on TV, even heard it from a pulpit, does not make it true. Many pulpits have empty words, don't they? Mm-hmm. And so we have to be really, really cautious not to be deceived.
Right. You know, it's funny, Linda, as you're talking about the so-called fake news thing, I know that many times, for me, my homepage, when I open up my my browser, is Google News, because when I get up in the morning, besides my devotions and time in the Word, I also want to know what's happened while I was sleeping, what's going on in the world. And quite often, these so-called reliable news agencies get things wrong. Maybe there was a big explosion somewhere in a city, in a big city in America, and I have all the headlines grouped together, and one would say, 3 dead, 5 wounded in the explosion in such and such city, and the other one would say, 5 dead, 2 wounded. I mean, everyone has the numbers different. One would say, at least 2 dead. It's like, I mean, there have been times I'd read the news headlines on a catastrophe or something happened in the world, and there's like 4 or 5 different number counting that the news agencies got wrong. Listen, of course, you don't know until finally they count and recount, and I don't know what finally settles it. Somebody gets it right. What do you trust? What do you rely on as no longer empty words? I'm telling you, folks, you could trust your Bible. You could trust the scriptures. News will change. Science changes. You know, people go, well, I'm a man of science. I like to study science. Well, you know what? Every 5 years, I think it's probably more often than that, but every 5 years or so, they have to rewrite the science books because the facts have changed. Theories that they thought they had right, they have wrong. And all the time, I love to watch the science section in the news on my Google News because sometimes it'll tell you, you know, new discovery turns evolutionary theory on its head. What we once thought was the missing link, now we think this. You know, they're always still thinking it's evolution, but they're always finding things that totally upset what they used to believe. Folks, you will never find that true about the Bible. As long as you study the Word of God, you're going to hold course and you won't be blown to and fro with every wind of doctrine. You won't have to change your stand. Now, I do understand some of you might even be thinking, well, how come they keep making new translations? Well, I know I had a discussion in a group text last week or so about this, that he was totally a King James guy and wanted to know why I'm not quoting King James. And I basically just told him because I don't speak in I like to read a Bible that's written in my language. I don't use these and thous and whosoevereth. And, you know, I mean, I like to read a Bible that's written in my language. So every now and then they will update a Bible that's maybe worded in a way that's easier to understand, but it is not changing the facts, okay? That's the thing. The Bible, new translations, don't change the facts. They're trying to make clearer what we already know to be true. And so these vain and empty words that Linda's talking about, it's things that will go against what you know to be true. Let's see, where was it? Let no one deceive you with empty words. I was looking that up. It's vain or empty. And so
devoid of truth.
Yeah. So I'll tell you what's not devoid of truth, but what's filled with truth is your Bible. So be a student of the word, study the scriptures, and you will be fine. Now, it goes on to say, verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. I do believe now as I'm reading this verse that sometime last week we covered a little bit of this as well. But it's worth repeating, and we always come up with some additional information as we dialogue together on this. The thing is here in verse 8, Ephesians 5:8 shows that there's a contrast between what you were and what you are now. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And if you can't say that, then maybe you weren't really saved. If you can't see a great difference of darkness and light between that drastic of a difference between the time when you were before you were a Christian and now as a Christian, something's wrong, because there should be a lot of things that you have chosen to get out of your life, because now that you belong to Christ, there are things you just don't feel are fitting for a Christian's life. There are things that you do that you never would have dreamt of doing. You know, a non-Christian doesn't enjoy going to church and worshiping and having communion and fellowshipping, you know. So, I mean, there should be a light and dark difference if you are truly saved. So once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Now, let me say something else about this. It's possible for someone who is light in the Lord and a child of God to not walk as children of light. That's why the Bible tells you to walk as children of light, because it's possible to, you know, it's possible for a true born-again Christian to backslide or to play around with sin or to just do what he knows he shouldn't do, okay? And so we're warned in the Bible, walk as children of light. You know, why are we told that? Because we, every day you have a choice. Every day I have a choice. Every day you have a choice. Whether you want to get up this day and you want to live for the Lord. That's what Linda and I talk about this quite often, like when we go on vacation or right now we have family out. We don't shift gears to the point that we go, okay, we're on vacation from God. Now we get to do things that we don't normally do this because we're Christians. We're not supposed to do this kind of thing, but we're on vacation. We don't do that kind of thing.
No, not at all.
The kind of life we live all year long, all week long, every day of our life, it's consistent. We need to be consistent, and we need to walk as children of light. And so, you know, that's another thing that I want to warn you of. Now, I know that I'm going maybe too deep for some of you because I want to talk so much on each verse, but there's a thing called compartmentalization, where people love to compartmentalize their lives, where at home you're one kind of person, at church you're another kind of person, at work you're another kind of person, and you kind of like a chameleon life, that you change colors depending on where your environment is. And what I believe what we get from the scriptures is, no, walk as children of light. Walk as children of light at home. Walk as children of light at work. Walk as children of light at church, not just a church, okay? And so I'm just putting out a plea right now for all of my brothers and sisters in Christ, a plea for consistency, that we would not be spiritual chameleons, that we would not compartmentalize our life and just decide, well, this part of my life has nothing to do with that part of our life. We need to live every day, every hour of every day, as children of light. And I think I've told you before, I might have spoke last week about this, I think one of the contributing factors to this is how you view yourself. If you view yourself as a child of God, born again, if you view yourself as a child of light, then you'll live like a child of light. But there is this saying that, and I've said it before, you've probably heard it, maybe you're tired of hearing it from me. It's one of my pet peeves that people always say, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Well, if you view yourself as just a sinner saved by grace, then it's very possible that you're just going to live like just a sinner who happens to be saved by grace. That's improper. That's unacceptable. You are not just a sinner. If Jesus died for your sins and you've accepted him as Savior and you've been born again, you are not just a sinner anymore. You're a saint. You're a child of God. You're born again. Walk like children of light. Live and think and act like a saint because that's who you are now, okay? One of my pet peeves, you'll hear it a lot from me if you're staying tuned to our show. And then he goes on to say after he says, walk as children of light. In verse 9, he says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. See, what we're shooting for is a fruitful life. And the fruitful life we're looking for is goodness and righteousness and truth. The opposite of that is evil and unrighteousness and lies, right? So a child of God shouldn't be living a life in darkness of lies and deceit. A child of God should be living in the truth. A child of God should be walking properly and bearing fruit in their lives.
What I see here is it's telling us who you were in darkness, lost, who you are now, excuse me, is in light. You're walking as children of light. You're children of God. Now, what does that mean when we become children of light? We've accepted the Lord as our Savior. We now have the Holy Spirit living within us. If you genuinely have the Holy Spirit living within you, which is that guarantee, that seal that the Lord places on our lives, then the fruit of the Spirit, what the Spirit will do in our lives if we allow the Spirit, is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, the people who say, oh, I said a prayer once and that's all I ever needed to do, and they never surrender their life to the Lord. They're missing out on this. And you really wonder, did they accept the Lord or just in an emotional moment decide, oh, I'm going to get some fire insurance so I don't have to go to hell, and think that's all it took? Well, here the Lord tells you, you once lived in darkness, but now you're in light. How do you walk in that light? By the Spirit. Mm-hmm. The fruit that the Spirit will produce in your life is goodness, righteousness, and truth. Mm-hmm. That's one of the tests to know if you're really saved or not. Do you see these fruits in your life, or are you just still living in darkness? If you're still living in darkness, then you've got to consider maybe you are not one of the children of light. And maybe you need to make sure you really sit down and accept the Lord and surrender your life to him, not just say a prayer once. Okay, Lord, I'll take the goodies, but I'm not going to do anything back for you. Surrender your life to him.
Yeah, it's funny because as you were talking about the emphasis of the Spirit, I want to let you guys know, we just have seconds left, but listen, it's not try harder. What God is saying to you isn't try harder, do better, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Folks, in reality, you can't live the way God wants you to live under your own strength and in your own power, but you can by the Spirit of God.
Yes.
That's why we need to be born again. That's why we allow the Holy Spirit to take control of our lives. That's why we make it our prayer every day to say, Lord, help me to walk in your Spirit and not in the flesh. And that means according to the Spirit, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, not according to your flesh, what your flesh wants, or what your flesh wants to do, and by the strength of your flesh. Walk in the Spirit, folks. It's not try harder. It's yield to him, walk in the Spirit. Our time's up, folks, and so we'll have to pick up here tomorrow. Lord bless you. We're glad that you've listened in today, and we'll see you tomorrow.
If you'd like to know more about Calvary Chapel of Eagle, just go to the website at cceagle.org. Be sure and join Pastor Mike every Saturday at 8 p.m. and on Sundays at 8 a.m. for his radio show, It's All About Jesus. If we ran out of time and you didn't get a chance to call in, you can send your questions to lookup at ccEagle.org. And may the Lord richly bless you as you continue to look up to Jesus.
Look full in His wonderful face. I want to grow dim, standing next to You.